you can turn to 2 Peter, and we're going to be looking at three verses this morning. And in regards to this being Father's Day, it does apply here. One of the things that I'm thankful for my father, and I think this is echoed in a lot of the things that were mentioned, is there's this element of giving. A good father gives. And that is something that is indicative of God the Father, is he is a giving God. And there's really only two things that we're going to look at this morning with a lot of stuff hanging off of those two. And verse 2, it starts off, grace and peace be multiplied. And we'll see what that looks like. And it's easy as we see verses like this and phrases, these salutations, it's just sort of like, I think I may have even used this as an illustration before. There was a guy that I worked for. He would come up to you and he'd say, "How are you doing?" And before you even had a chance to say anything, he would tilt his head and he'd start bombarding you with everything he wanted to tell you. So the coming up to you and saying, how are you doing, was just an introductory phrase for him that meant nothing. He had no desire to know how you were doing. That is not what's going on here. When Peter says, grace and peace be multiplied, these are some meaningful statements that he is calling on for us to see. And it has a great value for our lives to understand and to acquire for ourselves. Let's go to the Lord in a word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, I want to thank you for our earthly fathers that we've had that have been instrumental in who we are and the things that have been given. Lord, oftentimes there's those that either through loss or other reasons do not have a earthly father, but we can all have a heavenly father that we can turn to, and a father that is perfect, that is flawless. And Lord, as we come before you, I just ask that we'd have that better understanding of our heavenly father and have a better understanding of how to respond. In Jesus' name, amen. So there's going to be two things that we're going to see. And when we see grace and peace, grace, we could divide that up just because of the conjunction there. We could say grace be multiplied and peace be multiplied. So we're going to first of all look at grace being multiplied. And that's a pretty amazing statement, to think of grace being multiplied. And this statement, I think, should change a prevailing view of what grace is that's out there. Because I think there's a lot of fallacious ideas, false ideas about what grace is. It almost has the idea of a singular sense to grace, is the way most people look at grace. But we could turn to 1 Peter 4:10. It talks about the manifold grace of God. Here we talk about a grace that is being multiplied. And a lot of times people think of grace in a singular idea as like this power source, like the electricity. We go over the socket and we plug in the electrical wire and we get grace flowing out of it. There's certain ideas of grace, for example, when certain different believers have communion, they believe there is grace that is conveyed while taking the elements. And that is actually not only a misunderstanding of what communion is, but it's also a misunderstanding of what grace is. So grace is more than a substance. It's not some magical force that we get from God. What we need to do is view grace as more of a description of who our God is. So when we see grace, and by the way, the word grace, one of the common phrases is the unmerited favor of God. Isn't that sort of, we get pat definitions that are given, and they're great if they're accurate, but unmerited favor of God is just one sliver of grace. And it's really not a very accurate description, because the word grace literally means the gifting of God, the giving of God. again, is something that is more descriptive of who God is than what is given. And by the way, when we talk about the power of God, interestingly enough, Peter talks about it here. In James 1:17, I'm going to read some references. Don't turn there. But it says, every good and perfect gift is from above and comes down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow of turning. So grace is descriptive of who God is. He is a giver. In fact, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave. God is a giver. So grace is descriptive of something that is a characteristic of God. He gives and he gives and he gives. We can think of common grace. The one verse, and I've mentioned this before. I used to always think of the verse, he sends the rain on the just and the unjust. I thought that was almost a condemnatory response. I hated rain, so I thought, okay, God's getting both the just and the unjust. But that's not the case. The idea of rain is a picture of his blessing. God blesses, God graces both the unsaved and the saved. We can look at the common graces that are out there. Homes, money, food, the sunshine that we can enjoy, the rain that waters the ground and the crops. All those things are common grace. God gives and gives and gives. He gives to even those that rebel against him and don't like him and are rejecting him. And he has grace that is available. Now, when I'm saying this and I talk about God being a giver, I'm a little concerned that I might sound a little like Joel Osteen. I don't have the haircut for it, though. There's probably a lot of things I don't have for that. But the problem with the prosperity gospel people, the health and wealth gospel, isn't so much that they think God gives. It's the problem is what they're focusing on what he gives. They think the greatest example of what God gives is thanks. Now, let me illustrate it this way. When I was a kid, they opened up a McDonald's in our town. Now, for those that are younger than me, you think of a McDonald's opening up. That sounds kind of, okay, big deal. They're ubiquitous. I like the word ubiquitous. It means it's everywhere. You can't go somewhere. You can get lost in Montana and find a McDonald's. They're just all over the place. But when I was a kid, it was one of the first drive-through restaurants. We had drive-in restaurants. This was a drive-through restaurant. We were talking big time. And they had something else called a Happy Meal. It's pretty exciting stuff when you're elementary school, a Happy Meal. Can you think of anything better than a Happy Meal? Inside the Happy Meal was a toy. So the very first time pulling through in our 10, 12, 8, whatever the passenger van it was, not these minivans, it was a real van. Remember pulling through there, we're going to get to eat in the van, and I was going to have a meal that had a prize in it. What could be better? I remember getting the prize, or getting the Happy Meal, and the very first thing you go for is the prize, right? And I remember it was a little thing about like this big, a red plastic frog that if you put it on a surface, you poked it on the backside, it would flip and do something. And it's like a little piece of plastic made in Japan. Back in the 70s, made in Japan meant junk, by the way. Can you imagine how disappointed I was? I expected something great and awesome. Later on, they had Beanie Babies. That wouldn't have been too exciting for me, but they upped their game. But that's the problem with a prosperity gospel. They get really excited, and they stay excited about the little red plastic frog. That's what they want. They want the things that last just for this life. But God, our Father, is a good giver. He doesn't want to give us junk. He doesn't want us to give us play toys. He wants to give us things that are great and everlasting. We can think of salvation. We can think of his son, John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So he gives salvation. That is a gift. He gives spiritual giftedness. Everyone that has put their faith and trust in Christ has been given a gift in turn where we can grace others. He's given us salvation, Ephesians 2:8 and 9. He's given us the fruit of the Spirit. We could go on and on about the things that God has given. God wants to multiply His grace. Now, in a moment, we'll look at how that is. The second thing that He calls for is for peace to be multiplied. Now, that is something that we can look at our world and say, hey, that would be a great thing to multiply. The very first thing I think of is outward peace. Now, we might automatically think the Bible isn't as concerned about the outward peace, but it does speak to it. Romans 12:18 speak to it. 1 Peter 3:11 tells us to seek peace and pursue it. Something that should be indicative of our relationships is that we are peacemakers, that we look about bringing peace. Now, being a peacemaker isn't an avoiding of conflict. It's a resolution of it. And there's biblical admonitions of how to do that. But it begins with seeking and pursuing peace. James 3:18 says, sow peace. Now, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. As believers, we should be peacemakers. But a lot of that begins by what is going on in our hearts and is sown in our actions. When we do what is right, when we're pursuing righteousness, we're going to see peace in our relationships. It is also sown in prayer. 1 Timothy 2:2 talks about us praying for all those that are leaders. Why? That we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. So there's the outward peace. A second type of peace that can be multiplied is the peace of God. Turn to Philippians 4:6-9. In verse 6, it says, and this is very interesting, it says, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. Verse 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. Now, just stop there for a second. Some great things, but look what it says here. There's a promise that goes on here. It says, and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Now, when Peter says, I want peace to be multiplied, it's easy for us to, again, this is something that's easy to skip over and not to think is something that is super important. But as believer, it is vital for us to have peace in our hearts. Look what he says at the very end here. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, look what it says, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. There's a great risk. There's a great peril to our hearts and our minds if we're not living in the peace of God. Unfortunately, there's a lot of believers that go through life living anxious. They're dealing with worry and they're dealing with anxiety. And by the way, we all face that. Anxiety and worry, where it's fear of things yet to come or yet to be realized. There's a lot of challenges that we face in life. When you're in school, there can be worries about the tests that are coming up. At work, the responsibilities, sometimes it can be, you know, the income coming in the business. There's a lot of things that we can worry about. If I keep on naming the worries, you might say, okay, now I'm distracted. I'm thinking about that. I'm worrying about that now. But the Bible says, be anxious for nothing. How are we going to fulfill that command? Verse 4, rejoice in the Lord. Again, I will say rejoice. A lot of it is the activity of rejoicing in the Lord. Verse 6 goes on, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. How am I going to deal with worry? By the way, when worry comes up, it is time to go to the Lord in prayer. is a prompting. By the way, we can be thankful even for worries because it is a prompting to go to the Lord in prayer. Oftentimes, it's the last thing that we do. We try to fix everything. We try to go everything. And we could use that bumper sticker that we put on, you see on cars, when all else fails, pray. That should not be the last resort. That should be the first resort. Everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. This is a challenge. Let your requests be known to God with thanksgiving. One of the things that I see that is, and I'm not going to go too far down this road, but a lot of things that you see, one of the problems with the world today, those that have rejected God, one of the things that they cannot do is be thankful. You see a lot of the turmoil out there and the lack of peace in our society. The people that are, you know what I'm talking about. The people that are rioting and just, you see someone interviewing them and there's just a meanness and ugliness about them. The deal is they can't be thankful. Life has mistreated them. They haven't got what they deserved. As believers, a lot of the anxiety, a lot of the worry, a lot of that is going to be dealt with just by turning to the Lord and being thankful. A lot of times we can be thankful for the things we have not even had yet. So there's the peace of God. And that's going to be through prayer. That's going to be through thanksgiving. That's going to be through thinking on the things that are right and godly. In fact, we could look at that in verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatever things are true, whatever things are noble, whatever things are just, whatever things are pure, whatever things are lovely, whatever things are of good report, if there is any virtue, if there is anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. The things which you've learned and received and heard now saw me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. You know, a lot of times it's what we think upon, what we dwell upon that brings anxiety. And there's a list here, and really if we're thinking, we're caught in a mind trap and we're worrying, maybe we should say, is this noble, is this just, is this pure? We start thinking through those and, well, okay, I shouldn't be thinking about this. I shouldn't be dwelling on this. The peace of God. Then there's the peace with God. You cannot have the peace of God unless you have the peace with God. Romans 5:1 says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. God is one that wants to multiply both grace and peace in our life. God wants to give. He wants to give and give and give. He wants us as believers to be at peace. He doesn't want there to be this turmoil inside of us. There's some people that are bent up and they're like a bunch of rubber bands on the inside. That is not what God wants for believers. He wants us to live a life that is filled with grace and guarded by peace. How is that going to happen? It says here, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. In fact, we're only going to look at one more verse. We're not going to get all the way through this. How are we going to do that? The very first thing, by the way, there's one sentence in verses 2, 3, and 4. And this is a challenge as we read the scripture, seeing how everything fits together. Everything in verses 3 and 4 are going back and explaining what is happening in verse 1. Some of them are explaining some of the explanation. There's a lot of modifying and highlighting of what's going on here. But we're just going to look at two things here about how we're going to have grace multiplied and peace be multiplied. So it's here, first of all, in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. In the knowledge. Now, this has the idea of something more than knowledge about. One of the things that I often joked about with my alma mater, my undergraduate school that I went to, some of you may know where I went, that if you went and got a Bible degree from there, you got a Bible trivia degree. You were great. You could know and name off a number of things. That can be a challenge when we study the Scripture. And we think we get it down when we have this fact down, we have this fact down. If I can win at Bible trivia, then I am spiritual and knowledgeable. That is a danger with knowledge. We even talked a little bit about that on Saturday. The Pharisees were very knowledgeable. They would blow all of us out of the water if we wanted to have a Old Testament Bible trivia contest. They would win, hands down. But the problem is, other than those that eventually came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, they were dying and going to hell because they were working their way to heaven. Grace is going to be multiplied and peace is going to be multiplied in an experiential knowledge of who Jesus Christ is. That word in is very important. Not with or besides, but in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That means we need to have an active living out, an understanding of who, what Jesus Christ has and who he is and what he has done. The person and work of Jesus Christ is where we're going to see grace multiplied and peace multiplied. You know, we've been talking in Sunday school about those that want to continue to mix works into the relationship that we have with God. Now, works are important for believers. They are to be an outgrowth of what God has done. We're saved unto good works. We're not saved by good works. It's to be an expression of gratitude. When we do what is right, it is a thank you to God. It's not, give me something, God. And that is the difference. Part of that is being in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. This word knowledge is a very powerful word, by the way. It's not just knowledge. The Greek word is epignosis. You've heard of gnosis, gnostic, it's the word knowledge, but epignosis is a complete and full knowledge. As we grow in our understanding of the person and work of Jesus Christ, that grace and peace is going to be multiplied. Look at the second thing here in verse 3, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue. There's a little bit of redundancy here, but I want you to catch this. As his divine power is given. By the way, most of the time that's what we think of grace, as divine power. Divine power is a grace. It isn't grace in and of itself. That's not just, again, don't limit grace to God's divine power. God's grace is a description of him and his giving. But something that he has given us is his divine power. And that divine power has given us everything that we need to do to live this life and to live this life in godliness. You might say, well, I can't do that. Oftentimes when it comes to, and by the way, that was done by his glory and virtue. Some versions have that we've been called to glory and virtue. This is probably the best rendering of the Greek there. We've been called by his glory and virtue. And what does that mean? When it comes to biblical commands that we've been given in the scripture, oftentimes they say, I can't do that. That's beyond me. I can't see myself being able to do that. That's not going to work. There's a reality that we have as believers. When we put our faith and trust in Christ, when God gives us a command, he has also enabled us through his Holy Spirit to do that. That's pretty exciting. When it comes to living out grace and peace, we can do it. Not because, you know, Jeremy is all great and wonderful and he has all this great strength. Jeremy has dunamis, okay? Especially Leah can't do it because of her great spirituality. She can do it because of the dunamis, the dynamic power of God. And that's, I didn't define that word there, power. We use the word dynamo, don't we? A generator. He's empowered us to do his will. So we got through two verses here. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. That's a pretty exciting thing to have. God has eternal blessings, and the next time we look at 1 Peter, we'll look at some of those blessings. But let me wrap it up here. Let me ask you, are you living in God's grace? Are you apprehending? You know, think about this. If it was Christmas time, think about when you're a little kid. We always opened our presents on Christmas Eve, but you know, we'll do the typical thing where it's Christmas morning. You wake up, you know, parents are still asleep, but it's time to go open those. You wake your parents up, you go downstairs, there's all the presents piled underneath the Christmas tree. And you go there, you get the biggest present out, unwrap it, and then you grab your present and you go back up to your room and you forget about the rest of them. What sane child would ever do that? I know of no child would open one present. Kelsey, maybe. But she's sitting there shaking her head. If it's the right one, yeah, she's an adult. She wants them all. That's the way we should be with God's grace. He has so many gifts and blessings for us. And we're not even talking about, we'll look about when we get into it again. Some of the promises, some of the blessings. Not the cheap junk. Not the junk that's, when this world is burned up, is all going to be gone. I don't know if you've heard this saying, I've never seen a hearse with a U-Haul trailer behind it. There's a lot of people that want the stuff that could fit in the U-Haul. We're not taking that to heaven. God wants us to have those eternal, everlasting blessings. Are we apprehending those? Are we living those out? Are we enjoying those? The second thing, are you living in peace? Do you let the turmoil and the anxieties and the worries of life get to you? That's not God's will for you. By the way, that's part of His grace, is to give us peace. And He's given us a way to have it through rejoicing, through thanksgiving, and just turning to Him. God wants us to be grace-filled and peace-filled. Are you apprehending those things today? Choked up. Let's go to the Lord in word of prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you, I thank you for your truth. I thank you for the fact that, Father, you're a giver. You give and you give and give. You give to even those that reject, and you want to give more. You want to give eternal blessings. Lord, let us not be focused on the plastic pieces of life, but let us be focused on these eternal blessings that last and continue on. Lord, let us also be filled full of peace. If we're going to be peacemakers, if we're going to be peacemakers by bringing the gospel to others, we need to be peace-filled individuals. Lord, let us be full of peace. Let us bring your peace of the gospel where people can have peace with you, because we've experienced that peace in and of ourselves. In Jesus' name, amen.